The only effort of any intelligent person in this world ought to be to know something, not to believe in something, to know something which cannot be destroyed by death. And I wonder if you know something. Know means trust. If you trust in something without any doubt that cannot be destroyed by death, certainly it's not your body or any of your possessions, all of which will become dust. Everything on the planet, including you, to put it in Ken Wilber's terms, is tomorrow's food. It's a constant recycling in the physical plane. So what part of you cannot be destroyed by death? What part of you is real, if you will, as Lao Tzu put it? But I knew there was something in the New Testament that really had struck me. So I started going through that, and I had a little paper that I was writing on, and I jotted down these two quotations, and I put them as the display quotes. The first is from John 10, verse 34. It says, "Is it not written in your law, I have said, you are gods?" From Jesus Christ. "Is it not written in your law, I have said, you are gods?" Which is really what you have to understand and embrace and know if you're going to become a manifester. You have to know what you are being told here by a great spiritual teacher. You are God. And I was just, I said, boy, this is amazing. I was just sent up here off of my rope swing to come up here and write these things down. And the second one was John 14, verse 20, that says, "On that day, you will know." See how that word "know" is always there. You won't believe. You will know. "On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." So, what is being talked about here? What is being talked about is not something that is physical. This is not like my arm is in your arm, my spleen is in you. We're talking about here is something that is beyond the physical, that is in you and in the Father and in me and in everything. And if you get this, if you know this, then you begin to see yourself as connected to this divine intelligence that is everywhere, that is always flowing, that is inexhaustible, that is non-judgmental, that is available for you to plug into, just like electricity. And you can do anything you want with it, like electricity. It'll light up a hospital where everybody is reputed to be ill, and it'll light up a house of ill repute. You can do what you want with it. It is there. It is divine. And you are a piece of it. You are connected to it. And once you trust in this, and once you know this, you almost come to a different perspective in your life. Earlier in the first principle, I had talked about these archetypes that Carl Jung referred to. And in these archetypes, he said that we move from athletes to warriors to statesmen to spirit, and then when we are there, we can be all of these things. And one of the things that he also said is that if you don't get to this highest place, this highest archetype, then you will continue to come back and do it. Now, he's talking about reincarnation. And I'm not going to talk about reincarnation here. Reincarnation is an interesting subject. It's an exciting subject. I always liked Eleanor Roosevelt's response when they asked her, "Do you believe in reincarnation?" She said, "I don't think it would be any more bizarre for me to show up in another lifetime than it was for me to show up in this one." So, like, I'm open, all right? I'm talking here about this divine intelligence and making the case that it is everywhere. Consequently, there's no place that it's not. I repeat over and over. Therefore, it's in you and all that you would like to have in your life. So we're really talking about a new alignment here rather than mystical, magical stuff. In order to get what I'm talking about here, you have to understand that there are essentially two theories of nature at work. And I'd like to just share these two theories of nature and have you listen perhaps with a little bit of objectivity and remember the cookie thief that I put in the very first tape. The thing that you think you know and you're absolutely certain that you know something because you just have this inner conviction that it's true, regardless of where it came from, and then it turns out that you were the cookie thief. These two theories of nature, we have been brought up in tribal consciousness, and I'm not here to put down anybody's religious persuasion. This is not a talk about religion. It is a talk about spirituality, higher consciousness, and it is a program about manifesting, not recruiting or putting anybody's religion down. I honor everyone's right to see God and soul and spirit in their own private and personal way. And I celebrate everybody's finding that spiritual loving place within themselves, however they feel it is organized, under whatever set of rules that they think are appropriate. I honor it all. And I think we need more of it in the world, not less. With that said, I would like to examine these two theories of nature very briefly. The first theory of nature is the one that most of us have been brought up on. And this theory of nature is one that keeps us from becoming a manifester, from being able to do what Jesus Christ said we could do, which is all that he has done and even greater things, that there is a divinity within you. This theory of nature says that essentially the universe is a monarchy and that God is the king and you are the subjects. And the subjects are inferior to the king. You remember the divine right of kings and how democracy was founded by sort of tossing out this idea that kings had a divine right and that they had a special connection to God. And a lot of them at the time of the French and American revolutions were thrown out and executed and so on, and democracy sort of tended to take over. Well, this theory of nature says that essentially there is a boss. Very often this boss is a male, almost always, I shouldn't say very often, always this boss is a male, usually a white male with a beard, a white dead male in heaven, who controls and judges and is separate from us, and we are the subjects of this boss. We are separate from this boss in such a way that we are basically, as people, as individuals, we are not to be trusted. We can't be trusted. We are smeared, or we are stained, if you will, with sin and untrustworthiness. And that God is what is trusted, but God is outside of us. So we are separate from that. So we're looking for divinity in the boss outside of us, okay? And most of us have grown up with this idea. This is, even though if you read the work of the great spiritual teachers, they all say the kingdom of heaven is within you, know that you are God, have in you the same mind as Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. These are quotes from St. Paul and from St. John. There's been a sort of a misinterpretation of this, and what we have done is we have subjugated ourselves to this idea of this first theory of nature of the monarchy, if you will, that the boss is outside of us and we are untrustworthy. Now the problem with this theory of nature that we have adopted is that we can never come to trust in ourselves because we essentially are conceived with an original stain. We are already, there is something wrong with us. If you are untrustworthy to begin with, in your origination, if you cannot trust in yourself, then you can't even trust in your assessment of yourself as untrustworthy. You see, if you say to yourself, hey, I'm really not trustworthy, but you say, well, wait a minute, I can't trust that. Why not? Because I'm not trustworthy to begin with. Do you see that you will always be lost and you will never be able to trust in yourself as long as you start with the supposition that God or spirit or soul or organizing intelligence is something that is out there that I am separate from and that I am inferior to. You're lost. The second theory of nature says that God or the boss or whatever is not outside of us but is everywhere and is an energy that is love. And that this love does not judge, but is in all things and allows us to have a free will. And that this God, if you will, is everywhere at all times and is loving and caring. The way I see it is I think of God as like the ocean for me. To understand this idea of learning to trust, God is like the ocean, and I am a glass. And I take this glass, and I dip it into the ocean. And I say, okay, what do I have here? And the answer is, I have a glass of God. Now, it's not as big. It's not as strong. It's not as all-knowing. It's not as all-powerful. But it is still God. And just like a wave on the ocean is what the ocean is doing, you are what God is doing. And until you know this, you will never have the trust I'm talking about. You are what God is doing. And if you take a drop of water out of that ocean and you separate it out and you put it over here, you will find that it is weak, that it will collapse, that it has no power, that it can't do anything because it is separated from its source. And the same is true of us. When we separate ourselves from our source, from the divinity that is in all things, we take and make ourselves powerless, impotent, unable to do the divine things that we can do when we are united, both as united with God, or with soul, or spirit, whatever you want to call it, united with each other. You see, it's that separation. It's always that separation. So it's almost like learning to trust in yourself involves trusting in the fact that you have a divinity. And this divinity is evident on the basis of the idea that God is everywhere. And if this intelligence is everywhere, you have to trust that it's in you. And there's no mistakes here. And while you may not always honor everything that you do and that others do, you can see that your essence, your basic essence of what it is that created you in the first place, is that divine organizing intelligence that can never die. You've got to know that. You've got to trust in that. When you trust in this, what you're doing is you're trusting in whatever it is that created you in the very first place. You see, the intellect has trouble with this because the intellect is the mind and the mind is the ego. If you ask most people, where is your center? Where are you centered? They will point to their head. Where do you originate from? Where is your source? Where is your ability to think and to process? They will point to their head and they will say, it's in my brain. My brain is what makes me be able to think and be able to understand concepts and so on.